that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to episode one, our first ever episode of Nothing But Bets, part of the BasketballNews.com podcast network. I am your host, Evan Sidery, joined by special guest today, actually my editor and lead writer as well for BasketballNews.com, Spencer Davies, here to talk about how NBA gambling is really starting to take over nowadays within the NBA realm. And also we're going to look ahead a little bit to tonight's slate of games with the Warriors taking on the Lakers and also the Nets taking on the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks. And before that as well, we're going to dive in a little bit to some props, go over some season awards, some over-unders. Spencer, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, man, and I'm happy to be the first guest on the first episode of Nothing But Bets.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm really looking forward to this because it's something I've always been intrigued by, and I know, Spencer, you have as well. Just I have to admit, I love betting on football. Like, that's one of my little things on the side I like doing, especially since sports gambling is now legalized in Arizona. It's been something I do almost every weekend is to see what happens. It just makes things interesting sometimes, and I'm excited to do this for basketballnews.com as far as Nothing But Bets goes, because I feel like nowadays, especially out here at Phoenix or at Footprint Center, they have a sports book inside their arena. I've seen multiple places now, like Washington, D.C., and Chicago is getting one as well. Sports betting, Spencer, is becoming a mainstay, like a thing you talk about every single day when it comes to sports now. It's a sudden change from what we saw about 5-6 years ago. I mean, what's your thoughts on this whole situation? I feel like it's really starting to kind of take over a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because, you know, when it started out, it started picking up steam. I was like, I don't know why you're throwing your money away. What are you doing? You can't just watch a game for recreation or to have fun. And then, you know, daily fantasy sports comes along in addition to all the fantasy sports that were already in place. But this was a way to literally change your team every week. And then you get into the actual outcomes of the game between two teams, and you just give yourself a little bit more of a reason to watch. And it's like kind of like you're playing a game of your own when you're watching these teams and these players compete. So that's why I got into it, and I'm with you. I started doing football, for the last few years or so, just even from a pick'em pool, just doing spreads. And it's a really good way to engage the fan and engage somebody who actually might not even been like huge into sports. That's a good way to kind of introduce them to it, because then they have a rooting interest. Then they have something that will keep them paying attention to the game and really, having a good time and doing it. I know that a lot of the times, at least for me, the outcome doesn't always go my way. And yeah, I lose some money, but it's still fun because you feel like you're a part of it. And I think that that's what's drawing people in, is that there's a way to actively have a say and actually have a way to be involved in professional and even sometimes collegiate sports.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me, Spencer, because I imagine the same thing happens for you on most game nights where you get tweets where you're saying from people what's the starting lineups like? Who's missing the games? Like from daily fantasy sports people or people trying to bet on the game. Like, it feels like now, honestly, Spencer, we're kind of getting on the precipice of this kind of exploding here soon, which is something, like I mentioned, I would never have thought would have happened 5-6 years ago. But I mean, I have to imagine you get those same tweets as well, where you have a lot of people in your mentions on Twitter from the gambling perspective asking you questions before the game.
Yeah, no question. And it's funny. Like, where the hell are the starting lineups? Where the hell are the starting lineups? So that's why, at least every time I'm in town, in Cleveland, and whoever's coming in, is I'll always throw out the starting lineups and try to get, the quickest information I can from both coaches on, active, inactive. People hate the word questionable because it's very ambiguous. But I do get quite a few questions coming in. And I do the best of my ability to answer them, but I never go as far as to saying, yes, this person's playing. No, this person isn't playing, unless there's a stern answer coming from the actual organization itself. So that's another tip for those sports reporters that are trying to break in. Don't ever lie because you think something is going to happen or think something isn't going to happen. Be sure of it first.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing, too. I know if you get it wrong or if you're a little ahead of yourself, you'll definitely hear about it on the Twitter as well. But let's go ahead and dive into it, Spencer. I'm looking forward to talking about some NBA bets, not only for tonight's slate, but also the future picks. For episode one, we're going to go ahead and look at some futures as far as this goes with our awards predictions, maybe even looking ahead to some over-unders as far as the win-loss projected totals go. When you look over this, I'm actually looking at DraftKings right now, Spencer, and to me, there's really a couple teams that stand out as far as projected over-unders. We can get on unders first, but when I'm looking over this, we'll start off here. I'll go down the list really quickly for those wondering out there, for those as far as the actual over-unders projections go. Houston Rockets, 26.5. Pacers, 42.5. LA Clippers, 45.5. LA Lakers, 52.5. Memphis Grizzlies, 41.5. Miami Heat, 48.5. Milwaukee Bucks, 54.5. Minnesota Timberwolves, 35.5. New Orleans Pelicans, 38.5. New York Knicks, 42.5. Oklahoma City Thunder, 23.5. Orlando Magic, with the worst in the NBA, 22.5. Philadelphia 76ers, even with the Ben Simmons situation, Spencer, I find interesting. Their over-under is still right above 50 at 50.5. The Phoenix Suns at 51.5. The Portland Trailblazers at 44.5. The Spurs, who I've been on all offseason on basketballnews.com saying, I think they're a team you should watch out for as far as potentially tanking later on. They're at 28.5 projected over-under wins. Sacramento Kings, 36.5. Toronto Raptors, 35.5. Utah Jazz, 52.5. Washington Wizards, 33.5. Atlanta Hawks, 46.5. Then look at a Brooklyn Nets, Spencer, as well. 55.5 leads every team in the NBA, even with the Kyrie Irving situation. It really tells you exactly how much Vegas feels about this Nets team, even with Kevin Durant and James Harden. They added a lot of depth this offseason as well. And then going over the last couple of teams here, Warriors, 47.5. Celtics, 46.5. Hornets, 38.5. Chicago Bulls, they've jumped up from the last couple of days after their hot preseason. It was 41.5. Now it's 43.5. Denver Nuggets, 47.5. Cleveland Cavaliers, Spencer, 27.5. Detroit Pistons, 25.5. And finally, the Dallas Mavericks, 48.5. A lot to take in there, of course. Went down all 30 teams there. But any numbers stand out to you as far as some teams on that list?
You know, it's something. I was making my predictions last night. Like, it literally took like an hour for me to go through the Eastern Conference. I don't think that there's going to be like an exceptionally bad team in the Eastern Conference, maybe exception of like the Magic and possibly the Pistons and Cavs. So those, anyone in the East that has like below a 30, I would look at. I just think that there's so much parity in the Eastern Conference this year. You look at how many big moves were made in the offseason. I mean, first ones you obviously think of the Chicago Bulls, bringing in Lonzo Ball, bringing in DeMar DeRozan. Obviously, you know, Alex Caruso off the bench. They traded for Nikola Vucevic. Like, those are some big moves, and those are, you know, win total moves right there. You have Miami, who brought in Kyle Lowry, who can completely change the direction of this franchise just by being an extra, you know, kind of compliment to Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. I think sneaky for that win total too is Washington. I think Washington, just by bringing in the Island of Misfit Toys from the Lakers that they used to get Russell Westbrook, I think that they could be a sneaky play-in team. You know, I'm looking Eastern Conference. I don't know if I want to touch the West, because there are so many scenarios in the West that it could go either way. I think it's harder to predict the West than it is the East, just because the East, you know, they're top, I'd say, six, and then from there there's a like a gamble from there. But I mean, for example, in the Western Conference, like, couldn't you see like the Warriors being the Warriors, like, couldn't you see, you know, Luka Doncic, you know, taking them to a top three seed? Like, there's so much, so many different things that can happen in the West, but the East, I just feel like they're more kind of compact into that 45 to 50 win range. A lot of teams in the East, that is.
Yeah, especially with the East, like you mentioned, Washington. That's a team I've always been looking at as far as the over-under win total goes. It's 33.5 right now, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I think Spencer Dinwiddie is going to be a really good backcourt combo with Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, we all know, is an All-NBA talent who can score the ball 30-plus points per game. You add in guys like Kyle Kuzma to the mix as well. He gels well there. You have a nice young core. I would definitely hammer over 33.5 if I were in that situation, just because I think Bradley Beal is not going to be a guy, if they start off slow, where he's going to ask out midseason. I think if he does do anything with his trade or his future in Washington, it's going to be during the offseason, probably either via sign and trade, or he's just going to outright say, hey, I'm going to sign somewhere else. I think that's where we're heading with Bradley Beal. I know there's some trepidation there with Washington just because people are wondering, hey, he might ask out midseason. Same goes for Portland with Damian Lillard. Those are two situations to watch out for as far as the over-unders go. But I think in both situations, both those guys probably just finish out their seasons in their respective locations. And they're definitely loyal when it comes to that. So I would definitely hammer 33.5 with the Wizards there. But let me hit on the West for a second, Spencer, because there's a couple interesting over-unders to me, at least, that I want to hit on with you. And the first one is Phoenix at 51.5. They won 52 games last year in a 72-game season. What's your thoughts on them being 51.5? Because I've been saying all offseason on basketballnews.com, I think if everything clicks together, this is a near 61 team. I mean, you brought back every single piece of the puzzle. You added in some more depth with Landry Shamet and JaVale McGee. The only one you're missing is Dario Saric, who's going to be out most of the season with a torn ACL. But you have further internal development from Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton. Chris Paul obviously is going to maybe take a step back as far as usage goes, but he's a great leader to have on that team. I think it's interesting now they're bringing up now because, honestly, Spencer, I would have thought, hey, hammer this 51.5, no hesitation. But now I think after what happened yesterday, for those wondering, DeAndre Ayton did not receive a max extension. For unnecessary reasons, in my opinion, Spencer, the Suns have created an awkward situation on top of that locker room, especially for a player like DeAndre Ayton, who we know needs to be pushed a lot, and one that's going to really, I think, put a lot of pressure on himself this year, maybe pressing a little too much to receive that big money contract that he wants. He was a max or no contract guy, and the Suns did not balk on their price. Same with DeAndre Ayton. What's your thoughts on the 51.5 over-under, and has your thoughts on Phoenix changed at all with this Ayton situation?
It does and it doesn't. I think that they're going to be really hungry to get back to where they were. They know what the taste of defeat is like, and you know, young teams don't like that. They want to get back and, like you said, they still have the same firepower. You know, sign Bridges, do an extension. Last other news too is that they signed Landry Shamet to a 4-year, $50-something million deal. You know, you bring back Cam Johnson. You still have, you know, your core pieces. Devin Booker, as we know, one of the hottest players in the NBA. And you put that together with Chris Paul and a really, really solid bench. I mean, even though Ayton didn't sign the extension, he's still a part of the team. It's not like a situation where, and mind you, I thought he deserved to get a max offer. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is the team still has the ability to match whatever comes his way after the season. I think that he's going to focus like hell on this season and be more motivated because he's going to want to earn more money. So I would probably take the over there. I betting probably right around that 52 to 54 win range. Just looking at it, still have a really solid defense. Play with a great pace in the half court, especially. So, yeah, I would still take the over. I wouldn't have any trepidation over the Ayton situation. Maybe out of the gate there is a little bit, but I think that it's going to be all right.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think they're just going to lock in Phoenix and try to get back to where they were last year. Just a remarkable run the Suns went on. The first time in 11 years they make the playoffs to go to the NBA Finals. They're up 2 on the Milwaukee Bucks, and then Giannis goes supernova. had puts 50 points in the game or series clinching game six. Just one of the most incredible performances in a series that we've ever seen in NBA history. But let's go ahead and dive into just a couple more teams here on the over. Then we'll hit on maybe your best bet for the under as well, Spencer, and then dive into some awards here real quick. One more here I want to hit on as far as the over goes, and I wanted to bring them up actually because they're a team you cover, Spencer, but it's one where I'm looking at the over and I'm thinking to myself, why can't they do this? Because they were close last year. And then you add in Evan Mobley. You add in, obviously, the Kevin Love situation we'll have to watch out for, but he's really a non-factor when it comes to the Cavaliers this year anyways. But you re-signed Jared Allen. Darius Garland, in my opinion, is going to take a big leap this year. Colin Sexton's already proven to be one of the most efficient scorers in the league. 27.5, Spencer, on DraftKings is the Cavaliers over-under. And I'm thinking to myself, this team came close to that last year, and you're betting on internal development here. Why can't they hit 30? I mean, I think this is a team where if you're thinking about a sneaky team and maybe hit their over a little bit, I think the Cavaliers are a team to watch out for here, Spencer. I think you can make some good money here because the Cavaliers, I think, are more so of like a low to mid-30s type of team. And I love the Ricky Rubio acquisition as well. He was huge for the Phoenix Suns to take that leap forward from really a laughing stock to at least a respectable team. And Rubio's done some great things as well. You've already written on this, Spencer, in Cleveland. What's your thoughts on the 27.5 over-under for Cleveland?
So it all depends on them staying healthy. That's something that they've had a lot of issues with. Honestly, ever since the rebuild started, they just can't stay on the floor. They're solid pieces. You know, the amount of lineups they had last year was absurd. It was something like 23 or 24 different starting lineups. You can't win that way. They come into this season with some continuity. They have the same coaching staff, albeit Lindsey Gottlieb's over with the USC women's team now, and in comes Sidney Lowe from the Detroit Pistons. But I think that overall with the team itself, I think that there's a little bit more of a belief. There's more of a buy-in. I think that this, you know, adding veterans the way that they did this year, and you know, they have gotten a lot of flack for bringing in so many big men, right? You know, they have Taco Fall just got signed to one of their two-way slots. They just brought in Ed Davis, and that's on top of having Lauri Markkanen, and that's on top of having, you know, Ricky Rubio. They've got some veteran voices in there now. And some of the veteran voices, mind you, they're still young. It's a really, really odd dynamic because you got Jared Allen and Lauri Markkanen going into their fifth seasons, but they're still in their early to mid-20s. You know, Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, they are going into their third and fourth seasons respectively, but they've still gotten a little bit of experience now. So, like, they're young, but they have games under their belt. And I think that coupled with, you know, the veterans that they brought in, I thought the Ed Davis move was really solid just from a locker room perspective. Again, goes into Rubio. They have talked up and down about Ricky Rubio this year. The only thing that would hold him back, I think, would be the injury bug. Otherwise, they're being a really funky team to watch this year. They're going to try out Lauri Markkanen at the threesome this year, play some big ball. They also have the ability to do some small ball. And actually, contrary to your point, Evan, they've been running Ricky Rubio and Kevin Love with the second unit. And those two have a little bit of a rapport together, obviously, from their time previously with the Timberwolves. So keep an eye on that. But 27.5, I have them right around that 29 to 32 range. So, yeah, sure, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little flyer I want to take there on Cleveland. I'm going to lock them in as one of my picks I would take. I'm going to go for just a couple picks here before we dive into some unders. I'm going to take the Heat at 48.5, the Suns at 51.5. Denver Nuggets, I think, are going to be a surprising team, even without Jamal Murray. I think Michael Porter Jr. takes that leap. I'm going to go over 47.5 wins for them. And then the last two, Washington Wizards, 33.5. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, over 27.5. Really quickly, Spencer, a couple unders I want to hit on with you as well. Maybe some teams that should fall under their win total this year, maybe be a little bit of a disappointment. These are four teams that I wrote down that I think are going to disappoint this year. And obviously, all four of these teams actually aren't supposed to be in the playoffs this year. But I just think it kind of shifts maybe just a little too ahead of the curve they would go if they hit the over on their development. And for me, it's Orlando, even though it's 22 and a half, according to DraftKings. I think they're going to be under 11 of their rotation players. 11 are under 24 years old, which is a crazy number. And then you have the Pelicans at 38 and a half. I'm going to hit the under on as well, because once again, Spencer, we have the Zion Williamson situation happening here, and you don't know what's going to happen there. San Antonio, I'm going to stay on my angle of them being really, really bad this year. So I'm going to hit the under on 28 and a half. And Sacramento, 36 and a half wins. That was pretty ambitious from Vegas on them. I'm going to go a little bit under on 36 and a half. What's your thoughts on those four teams, Spencer? Because honestly, I would have not picked the Pelicans to hit the under here. But now, once again, the Zion Williamson situation, his injury bug is starting to bite again.
It is. And you have a brand new head coach coming in, Willie Green, which I think he's going to be a tremendous coach. I don't know if he's set up for success necessarily. You know, there are a lot of questions around the move of bringing in Devontae Graham. I do like the acquisition of Jonas Valanciunas. But, I mean, you're in the Western Conference. Like, it's tough. It's tough to get wins out in that conference. It's just the God honest truth. Luckily for the Pelicans, I think that they're in the probably the worst division in basketball, I would think. Maybe the Central, maybe the Southeast. I don't know. But yeah, I would take under 38. You don't know where Zion is health wise. You don't like him starting on the shelf. You don't like him, you know, coming into camp a little bit heavy. You have a brand new coach trying to implement some new things. We still got to see if the defense can be there. You know, you're expecting a huge leap from, you know, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Maybe you're getting some, you know, run from Kyra Lewis Jr., depending on how much, you know, they're going to try to play him. Brandon Ingram, obviously, took some steps last year and continues to take steps as that like all-star, borderline all-star type of player. But Zion Williamson is that team. So you got to find out what that looks like without him, with a new coaching staff. It's a lot. It's a lot to do. And yeah, I would probably lean towards that under as well. Probably somewhere around 34 to 35 wins if they get Zion back in a timely fashion.
I'm right there with you. And one more thing here on the under, Spencer, then we'll dive into maybe creating your own parlay as far as the awards go, is looking ahead to maybe the race for number one pick this year between San Antonio and Orlando. I'm excluding Oklahoma City from this. Maybe that's a little ambitious on my part to exclude them here, because I know they're going to try at the end of the season to tank, but I love SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he's going to will into at least a little bit more wins than expected this year. But San Antonio and Orlando, these are two teams to me to really watch out for to hit their unders pretty comfortably, in my opinion. I think both these teams struggle to win around 20 or low 20 games this year. What's your expectations for these two teams this year, where it's a complete reset in Orlando? But for San Antonio Spurs fans out there, Spencer, this is a situation where they really haven't experienced this in the last 20 plus years.
Yeah, no, it's been a little while. I still don't think that the Spurs win less than 30 games. I just won't let it happen in my head as long as Pop is in charge of that team. I just can't see them in the 20s. I just can't with him at the helm. I do also like, you know, DeJounte Murray and Derek White. Their backcourt, I think, is pretty solid. They did bring in some vets. I know that they just let go of Al-Farouq Aminu. But, you know, if you have, you know, some of those voices like Thaddeus Young around, you have Dub McDermott, who we'll see how he does. You know, obviously big expectations coming off of that contract. Zach Collins also got some big money too. You also have Jakob Poeltl, you know, one of the better rim protectors in the NBA. What's the situation like with playing time for all three of these guys? Keldon Johnson, Lonnie Walker, Devin Vassell. You got to find minutes for them. But that's also something that I'm curious to see how that unfolds. But I do think they have a little too much talent to only win 28-ish games. So I would take the over personally on that. I think that Orlando, they have like 17 guards. That's an interesting dynamic there. You said they were what, 22 and a half?
Yeah, 22 and a half.
Yeah, I would probably take the under there. It also depends on what we see out of Jalen Suggs. I don't think what came out of preseason is what we're going to see out of Jalen Suggs. It's just, transitioning into the next level. Ethan Fuller did a really good piece for us on basketballnews.com, by the way, how much to take out of preseason and how many all-rookie, candidates came out of, having decent preseasons. Those are actual breakdown numbers and stuff like that. I don't want to, butcher it too bad, but I would probably take the under on the Magic somewhere around 18 to 20 wins is where I would have them. And if as far as the race for the number one pick goes, I still think that probably Orlando. I would look at maybe Houston. Oklahoma City, we know what their goal is. So Oklahoma City is going to be involved in that. So I would probably say those three teams.
Yeah, I think it's something to watch out for. Obviously, when you're looking at over-unders here, these teams at the bottom of the barrel, Vegas does a really good job of setting them up realistically. Like Orlando 22.5 is maybe around the nose of where they could be, around 21, 22 wins. But I would definitely, as far as the tank race goes, it's something to watch out for as far as over-unders go. But let's go ahead and pivot over, Spencer, to the awards, and then we'll dive into the last part of our show, talk about tonight's slate of games. Let's hit on MVP first off. I'll read the top five players who are under 1,000 odds. Luka Doncic at plus 380, Kevin Durant plus 600, Joel Embiid plus 800, Giannis Antetokounmpo plus 800, and then Stephen Curry plus 900. What stands out the most to you about that top five there, Spencer? Is there anyone else even off the board there that maybe makes some sense to you?
I like two candidates for MVP this year. The first is, the guy that just won the NBA championship who somehow has the fourth best odds, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Maybe it's fool's gold. This has happened before, but that jumper looks a little bit quicker. The release looks a little bit more natural. And I'm not saying he's going to get it by shooting jumpers, but if he adds that to his game, we already know what he has in his arsenal as far as being an unstoppable locomotive. If he gets down into the paint area or he's playing off of a pick and rolls like he's a big center, but in a, forward type of role, then I think that the sky's the limit for Giannis, honestly, man. Especially when you're playing with no pressure, that's another type of dangerous. And you're really playing like you have nothing to lose. And I know he's still going to be trying to prove himself, but I think big year for Giannis. I have him as MVP and DPOY, actually. But another name that you didn't mention there that I think would be intriguing for me is Jason Tatum. Brand new coach, I know, but Ime Udoka is respected very much so around the league. He no longer... We're going to see him get tapped into a different side, I think. He also, I don't know if you saw him, but he looks ginormous. Like he put on a bit of muscle. We know that, the Celtics had a COVID-riddled season last year. Hopefully they are able to avoid that this year. I know that they had a few issues there in the preseason as far as that goes. But I love Tatum. I think that also, coming off of Team USA, he's going to come in with a ton of confidence. He is able to really get to his spots like nobody else can. And he's patient with the ball. I think that he is very dangerous as a sneaky MVP candidate for me, at least. And the Celtics, too, I think are very sneaky this year to be a top 14.
Yeah, Tatum is one to me as well, Spencer, where he's one that stood out post All-Star break, averaging almost 30 points per game. And you expect that even more this year with the way the Celtics built their roster out, where he's going to put up a lot of points. And if the Celtics overachieve this year, if they're a team that floats around the 50-win mark or even above that, I think Tatum does get some legit dark horse MVP votes. And while you were mentioning that on Giannis too as well with your DPOY and MVP prediction, if you're wanting to put a prop down on that, Spencer, bet $20 on Giannis Antetokounmpo to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, $20 gets you $200. So, I mean, that's a
Do it for me, Evan. I don't got a sports book around these parts of Cleveland yet.
that's a really solid bet to make, because I mean, if you're betting on Giannis to take over the NBA at this point, that's a really fun bet to make. 20 for 200 is something to watch out for. But let's go ahead. I mean, really quickly on MVP for me at least, Kevin Durant's one to me that stands out, especially with the Kyrie Irving situation. Spencer, we don't know what's going to happen with him and the COVID-19 situation. I know we've been pretty worn out the Kyrie discussion on the website as well, just because we've written so much about it. But I just want to hit on Durant and the Nets for a second, because I think Durant's one for me where he showed in the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Nets against the Bucks, when he almost beat them by himself. Just that one jumper where he got his foot on the line instead of that three, and maybe the Nets would have won that series. What's your assessment of Durant heading into the season, and then the questions around Kyrie Irving? Because I still think, we didn't hail on them in the over-unders, but I still think they hit their over on their 55.5. I think Durant and Harden play more games than expected this year. I don't see them resting a lot now with Kyrie Irving being such a question mark. What's your thoughts on Durant's MVP case in the Nets?
Yeah, no, I think that there's a very good chance that he can do that. My question is, how often are they going to rest him? Can he stay healthy is still a question for me. He's obviously one of the best players in basketball. You're hard pressed to really be able to stop him from scoring and stop him from shooting the way he did. I mean, it was absurd what he did last year, especially in the playoffs when he just went to another level. But I gotta make sure that he can make it through a season. That's probably the only thing that would take it away from me. And also the fact too, that I think that James Harden's going to be out to prove something, especially if he doesn't sign that deal that people were expecting him to maybe ink with the Nets long-term. He's going to be trying to earn himself some money too. And let's not forget what James Harden is capable of, guys. So I think that itself, maybe the usage goes up for James Harden a little bit more too, could take away from KD's MVP case.
Yeah, that's really fair assessment there, because I honestly can see even Harden putting himself in the MVP race. He puts up those monster numbers in a winning environment like we've seen throughout his career. But let's dive over really quickly to the rest of the awards here. Rookie of the Year, I just want to get your quick prediction on this, Spencer. It feels like it's a two-man race, honestly, between Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham. Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs are the only other two players on this list with odds at 1,000 or below. What's your expectations for Rookie of the Year? Because it feels like, to me, Jalen Green is probably going to win the award just because he'll put up the most points, even though Houston's not going to be a good team this year. Neither is Detroit with Cade Cunningham. But I think Jalen Green's going to have some really monster nights. He's at plus 200 odds on DraftKings. What's your expectations for Rookie of the Year this year?
Hey, we agree on something. I also have Jalen Green winning Rookie of the Year. I would pick Cade Cunningham. I just don't know what his status is, you know, starting it, coming limping into the season, you know, with a little bit of an ankle thing. It's also something too, where the Pistons, they have guys who can play. So I don't know how much Cade's going to get used, at least out of the gate. They're probably going to give him the keys, you know, in a few months. Jalen Green, we already know where they're at. We know that the Rockets are there to develop. We know that they're going to put the ball in those guys' hands. Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green. You look at just the rookie class that they have. Ton of young guys. Jalen Green probably going to be taking 15, 16 shots a night, if you had to ask me. Is it going to be efficient? I don't know. But I think that the production will be there on a team that probably isn't going to have the best record and is going to need guys to score. So I think Jalen Green and KPJ are going to be doing the brunt of that. And you know, Christian Wood as well. Christian Wood was off to an amazing start last year, and then he obviously got hurt. But I think that Green is so attack-minded that he's just kind of going to force his way in. Plus, you know, when a guy talks about going number two and how he's, you know, I don't know if he said he's disrespected, but he'll remember that. I think that he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, whether it's motivation that's warranted or not.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, honestly, it's going to be something to watch out for there. And I think this race section could be really entertaining between those two guys, Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham. I think it's going to come down right to the wire there. But let's go to most improved player, then we'll close out with defense player of the year, and then look ahead to tonight's slate. Most improved player, there's only two players with 1,000 or below odds on DraftKings. That's actually a tie between Kevin Porter Jr. and Michael Porter Jr. And then a couple of flyers here I wanted to hit on for a second. Your guy Darius Garland in Cleveland at plus 3,000 odds, the 14th best odds for most improved player. I think that's a really good value there. And then OG Anunoby, he was actually at plus 4,000 a couple months ago. Now he's at plus 2,000. So if you got him back, then we were talking about him on basketballnews.com, you probably would be really feeling good about your investment right now. But those are two guys to watch out for as far as dark horse candidates go. I'm probably going to lean Michael Porter Jr. here, Spencer, just based off of the point totals and everything along the lines there. No Jamal Murray throughout the season as well. I think MPJ takes a leap and takes this award pretty easily, in my opinion. But what's your assessment of this race?
Yeah, no, I actually think that OG, that's who I have in my predictions as most improved. So those odds are still very good. I could see Darius Garland, doing it. It really just depends on what the records are. I think most improved often goes to the team that's in the playoff hunt, or the play-in hunt. So that's also another thing where your Michael Porter Jr. prediction could happen. I don't know if I can guess that for Michael Porter Jr. until I know that his back is okay and, he is going to be healthy and be able to stay healthy. I think that there's two other guys that come to mind here for most improved. One, Jaren Jackson Jr. I think for the Memphis Grizzlies is due for a big step. He came back and kind of got thrown into the fire, so to speak, and really didn't look like himself. I think this is a guy that is able to launch from deep. He's able to alter shots on the other end. He's able to complement Ja Morant very well. So I think that he's a decent bet. I don't know what his odds are. And then the other one that I had in mind as well was DeAndre Hunter of the Hawks. Trey gets a lot of the love, as he should, but DeAndre Hunter has put in a lot of work on his off the dribble game, and his ability to attack the basket, and also, shoot the three, but play a great, great, defensive, on ball, way. So I think that Hunter, if he can stay healthy, is also going to be a part of this race. And those are probably my three that I have in the bank right now. But there's definitely quite a few that are going to be vying for it.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr. plus 1,600, the tie for the third best odds there. And I'm looking for DeAndre Hunter because I thought that's actually a really good one as far as taking a flyer for some good odds. And incredibly enough, on DraftKings, somehow, some way, DeAndre Hunter is not even listed on this list. There's like 50 players. So that makes me think like, maybe they just forgot him, or if you want to take like a super good flyer, like you mentioned on DeAndre Hunter, that's actually a really solid one because he's going to be a starter on a good Atlanta team that could win 50 plus games. So keep an eye on that situation with Atlanta and DeAndre Hunter. Maybe he puts his way into the most improved player race throughout the season. But let's dive into defensive player of the year real quick, Spencer. This has become the Rudy Gobert Award. He's won it three times already in his career. He is the odds on favorite now, plus 340 again to win it for the fourth time. Behind him, we have Ben Simmons at plus 400, Anthony Davis at plus 650, Miles Turner at plus 750, Giannis Antetokounmpo at plus 900, and then Joel Embiid at plus 900. Those are six guys with under 1,000 odds there. You mentioned earlier in the show you like Giannis at plus 900. That double prop with Giannis MVP and DPOY is actually looking really juicy to me now after we mentioned it. But do you think this is Rudy Gobert's award once again to lose?
Yeah, it usually is. It usually is. I mean, he's somebody that is the reason you don't see teams attempting shots against the Jazz at the rim is because of that guy. I think that's a lot of something that goes over a lot of people's heads is, oh, he's not contesting as many shots. Well, yeah, it's because he's saying, come into my paint, please. I think that, Rudy has just established himself as the best rim protector in basketball. And, it's evidenced by the awards that he's won. And also, being an all-star and whatnot. I think that I kind of have my eye on AD a little bit if he's able to stay healthy as a candidate for that award. I already gave you my favorite with Giannis, but I'm just kind of spitballing who I think could go through. Maybe on wing defenders, you could look at someone like a Drew Holiday. you know, there's a lot of good ones. I always respect the hell out of Marcus Smart and think that he could definitely get his way into that type of conversation as well. So we'll see. We'll see on DPOY. And of course, hard pressed not to mention Draymond Green, who's usually in this race every year as well. So I think that, again, it can be wide open. But I just think that Giannis just goes to another level this year.
Yeah, I think Gobert and Giannis are two top guys to watch. There's one sleeper I want to throw out here because I think I mentioned him in our prediction on the website. Bam Adebayo at plus 1,400 odds. And nice. Miami, if they come out to a legit run, which I think they really can, getting 50-plus wins, I think Bam's a guy to watch out for DPOY. I know Jimmy Butler gets a lot of love. Kyle Lowry's going to help set things up defensively on the backcourt. But Bam's proven to be over consistently, really consistently improve as a rim protector. And I think this could be the year where adding Kyle Lowry to the mix, he could really take off as a rim protector and helping a really good Miami team to the playoffs, one of their top seeds. So keep an eye on Bam Adebayo. It's like a long shot one, plus 1,400 odds. I would place a play a bet on there. And then Draymond Green, plus 2,000, like you mentioned, that's another long shot bet, but one where Golden State does bounce back. I think they're a really good team to watch out for here. But let's go ahead and dive into tonight's slate of games. That was a lot of fun going through the awards with you, Spencer, but it's time to get into some games here. 7:40 Eastern time, we'll start off with the first game. The Brooklyn Nets, without Kyrie Irving due to the COVID-19 situation, are traveling to Milwaukee to face defending champion Milwaukee Bucks tonight. The Bucks are favored by 1 point. The over-under is 233 points in this one, so they're expecting a really high-scoring game tonight in Milwaukee. What's your expectations and thoughts on this matchup tonight, where I think it's going to be a really, really fun opener?
Yeah, no, it should be. I think that ring night, it's going to start well for them. Maybe the Bucks come out firing on all cylinders. But I think that the Nets have a little bit of a vendetta to come back and, pour it on them. So I think that the Nets win this one. I mean, obviously they're only a 1 point dog, but just outright. It comes from a second half effort via KD and James Harden. And maybe Patty Mills has a big game.
Hey, that'll be a fun one. I love the Patty addition for Brooklyn, and I think it's going to be a really close game. I'm going to go actually Milwaukee tonight. I think Giannis just has a really monster game. His over-under is 29.5 points. I think he's going to go over 30 tonight. I think he's going to have one of those games like we saw in the playoffs against Phoenix in the finals. I think he's just going to come out and say, hey, I know everyone's saying Kevin Durant's the best player in the NBA, but hey, watch this. I think it's going to be one of those moments from Giannis tonight. I think the preseason jump shot, it's something to watch out for, his improvements there. If that's real, I mean, this guy's going to be unstoppable. So that's just something to watch out for there. I'm going to go with the Bucks minus one to get the win over the Nets. But let's dive in really quickly as well into the Los Angeles Lakers hosting the Golden State Warriors. The last time these two teams faced off for a potential playoff spot, it was one hell of a game, Spencer. Stephen Curry and LeBron going back and forth. Get the same thing tonight, but this time we have Russell Westbrook in the mix as well. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Lakers got the band back together. They even signed Avery Bradley yesterday. I think that there's a lot of expectations that come with, first game, first week, first month of the regular season with a lot of these championship contenders. It's hard for me to see the Lakers losing at home on their first game. But I do know how long it takes for these teams to get acclimated. That said, I don't think Russell Westbrook's going to turn the ball over too much tonight. I don't. I think the Warriors look good. I think both of these games are very good. They're probably 2 to 3 possession games at max, I want to say. But I think that the Lakers kind of look smooth. They look well-rested, obviously. They were gone after the first round last year, and they rested for a little while. I mean, same goes for the Warriors, but we'll also get to see whether this Jordan Poole situation is real. But I would lean Lakers tonight, and another hell of a game.
You think they cover, Spencer? The Lakers? I'm going to go with the Lakers here as well over the Warriors, but the spread is 3.5 tonight. It's gone down from 4.5 a couple days ago. So I think there's been a lot of late money going to the Warriors here to cover the spread. What do you think about that? 3.5 points. I think it's going to be right on the nose there, either a 3 or 4 point win. I think the Lakers barely cover. I think it's those free throws at the end are going to get it done. But what's your thoughts on that spread?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just said two to three possession games. So that's tough. That's tough because that means they'd have to win by at least four for those who don't do gambling. Shoot. Oh, I hate betting spreads. In basketball, I hate betting spreads because I know how those free throws can ruin things, especially over-unders, too. Yeah, I'll say they cover. They win by five.
Okay. So let's lock that in for your parlay tonight of the Nets plus one, Lakers minus 3.5. That's a plus 272 odds. So if you were to place, let's say, a $10 bet on that, you can win back $28. So that's a really solid one. And also if you throw in, for my prediction, for the Bucks to cover minus one with the Lakers minus 3.5, that's plus 256 odds. So nearly right on the nose as far as same odds go. But hey, Spencer, this is a lot of fun today. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for coming on the first episode of Nothing But Bets. I imagine we'll be having you on a lot more throughout the season as well. It's great talking with you. But if you haven't already, basketballnews.com fans, NBA fans in general, go ahead and follow Spencer already on Twitter if you haven't. He's a great follow over there. Does great Cleveland Cavaliers content, great NBA content as well for us as well, at Spin Davies on Twitter. Spencer, really appreciate the time today, man.
Yeah, no problem, Evan. Thanks for having me on.